Have you ever dreamed of a life designed by you, not for you? A life where you hold the reins of your financial future? At Become an Investor, we believe in you and your unique potential. We're a community of like-minded individuals all walking the path towards financial independence. We understand that success is crafted in the face of adversity. It's in these testing times that we discover our resilience, our determination, and our discipline. That's why we're inviting you to learn more about Become an Investor. It's not just about learning the ins and outs of real estate investing. It's about empowering you to take control of your financial future. We'll provide the tools, but the choice to act, to persevere, and to succeed is yours. Join us and start your journey towards living life by design. Together, we'll turn aspiration into reality and empowerment into success. Learn more at becomeaninvestor.com.
Everyone, welcome back to another episode of our Live Life by Design podcast brought to you by Become an Investor. Today is a great night. I am excited and I'm scared. I hope I don't get sick. There's a bunch of sick people today in the studio and I am keeping my 1 mile distance. ladies, how you doing tonight, ladies?
Wonderful.
Good.
Yes. Wonderful.
What about you, Sarah?
Good. Doing good.
Come on. More energy, ladies. You feel down. You sound down. Come on. Let's everybody keep your distance from your radio and your speakers so you don't get sick.
We're going to need to change these little covers for the next one.
Yeah. All right, so let's get going, man. I mean, we're going to have a great night tonight, a lot of information, and we're going to start off with, what is it, the topic or the quote?
The topic, right?
Oh, yeah. What's the topic, Danny? Come on. No fighting.
I'll start with you go ahead.
No, you go with the topic, yeah.
Okay, the topic.
Can you guys decide? Because I thought I had the quote.
I have the topic. Okay.
Oh, duh.
Topic. Here we go. Topic. So for tonight, we're going to talk about finding a market. So what does that mean? How do you find it? What do you do? You know, what factors come into play? So we'll be discussing all that tonight to give you a better idea of what is finding a market.
Right on. Cool.
There you go. And now.
Was
the quote of the day. Whatever you are not changing, you are choosing. Laurie Buchanan.
Yeah.
It is what it is. What's up, beautiful people?
Whatever you are not changing, you are choosing. That sounds like the tacit law, tacit agreement. You know, when you go to court and then somebody tells you, for example, if you're wearing a black jacket, and they tell you, oh, your jacket is blue, and you don't say, no, it's black, then you just agreed it's blue. Mm. Right? So that's what it says. If you're not changing it, then you're choosing.
Then you're choosing.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's kind of crazy, but it's true. You know? So there's those four learning steps, and I'm not going to put them out there because they get a little confusing, and we need some time to explain them, but the very first one is not knowing that you don't know, right? And then it is only until you move on to the second step that you know you don't know is where you sit underneath this quote and say, you know, if you're not changing it, then you're okay with knowing that you don't know. And then you're just set there and then you're stuck. Sometimes we know we're stuck and we don't do anything about it. So that goes into being a choice. And yeah, we decide to stay stuck.
Would it go hand in hand with, you know, when they say if you don't make a decision, then you just kind of stay there?
Same thing.
So it's kind of the same, right? Like if you're not making a decision, then you're not changing. Therefore, you just kind of choose to stay where you're at. So yeah, you're right.
I mean, it sucks for those that don't. I know I do. Anyways, moving forward, Sarah, come on, get us going. What is a strategy? Tell us about strategy here.
So going into our topic of the night, the first question you want to ask yourself is, what is your strategy, right? So depending on your strategy, you will care more about certain criteria than others. So criteria meaning like, the location of a property, you know, if you decide to keep it, if you're deciding to flip it, if you're a wholesaler, you know, all those things would come into play because there's different things that you would look for to make one, you know, supersede the other or benefit more over the other.
Yeah, you know, so I see this like finding your market is almost in line with discovering your investor ID.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
almost like right there in line, same kind of concept where, you know, for example, in my investor ID, I won't touch short sales. In my investor ID, I won't not go to the auction. I will not do that, you know. So therefore, my strategies that apply to whatever it is that is within my investor ID are not applicable to short sales or auctions. One, because I don't care of them. Two, because I haven't done enough of them to even care for them, right? So my strategy is only applicable to what I decided I'm going to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
My criteria, like you were saying, right? And then everybody's is different. And it's a combination of, you know, you could be more persistent than I am. You could be more consistent than I am. Persistency and consistency are two different things, right? And I could be more persistent, more consistent than Danny is. But we can all have different criterias and different strategies, right? So yeah. Everybody has to understand what is it that their market is, identify their strengths and their weaknesses to help them understand what their market, what finding their market is going to be. Like a lot of people don't like to door knock their neighborhood. I don't know why. They'd rather go to the opposite side of the state, you know, and then that's their criteria. They found their market that way and that works for them.
So do you think that part of finding or what is your strategy would be along the lines of having like your buy box, like building your buy box so that you know?
Yeah, it goes in hand with that. Like, I don't like touching properties that are in the vicinity of a million. Not because I can't get the money together to get them. It's just because I'm very impatient. Okay, I'm very impatient, and I hate. I've done a few back in the day. I used to do a few of them with other ones of my partners, that were, you know, high $1 million homes. And what I learned in those, you know, in those experiences is that the pool of people are very small. You know, the demand for those houses is rather small than your average median house.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very impatient. And I like to finish a product. I like to finish a property, put it on the market, and then move on to the next. With those, it's more niche-y, you know? So for me, it's like in my investor ID, I like to keep them, you know, if I could get them for $10, I'll get them for $10. But let's stay here in what the market is. I like to be around the 650, 750 marker.
Mm.
Almost like 700 and below, 750 and below. I know that product is going to turn really quick because that's your average price.
Yeah.
And the average price, everybody's looking for the average price.
Mm-hmm.
Only the very few are looking for anything outside and above the average price. So because I know that I'm an impatient person, I want something that's going to move fast. Yeah. You know? So to answer your question, in my buying box or my buying ID or my purchase power, I like it to be 750 tops. Like 750 tops, and then I know I can get in there, get it going. Right when you go above the 750, 800, the finishes change. You know, the finishes change. A lot of the fixtures sometimes have to be kind of semi-custom ordered. You know, the flooring, like all these different things that are not like your average Home Depot type of counter shelf type of product. You know, I don't like that. Like if we get a flip, I like going in, you know, Swiss coffee and just regular carpet. Just go.
Easy.
Easy. Let's get in. Let's get out. Mm-hmm. You know, so everybody has a different way of buying in a different market.
I think what it helps to know your, when you talk about the market, it helps you know what it's on around you, what it's surrounding you, right? Because some people doesn't like to buy. I know you, for example, doesn't buy in other states.
Yeah.
So what it's the location that has a better development around you.
Right.
That, you know, that it's growing, something coming, some universities, some hospitals, those things all count. So besides the price, I think knowing the area, it's very important. So you can locate yourself and position yourself in a better way.
Yeah.
You can see mm-hmm. the change on that city or
yeah,
neighborhood.
The growth of the city, growth, the expansion. Yes, yeah.
That helps a lot too. So
yeah. So you either look at that or you look at like high density areas where there's no sales and then you find one. You know that you're going to flip that thing like super quick.
Yeah, it'll be in demand.
You know, because mm-hmm. it's scarce. It's like it's the only one. You can do whatever you want with it. Mm-hmm. But then if you go to, you know, Main Street and there's 12 properties listed, it's like, oh, shit, you better make a good purchase.
Or hold it and rent.
Or hold it and rent it, you know? But, yeah, I mean, I think we just spoke about pretty much everything on the list here. But, you know, it identifying your market, my market, is not going to fit Danny's market. Yeah. It might have some similarities, but then my market's not going to fit your market. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And then whatever we decide our purchase power is also going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
So in finding your market, everybody has to do their homework and see where it is at that they operate their business.
Yeah. Like for a long time, my dad, so he has like a construction business. So he has a lot of like heavy equipment machinery. Mm-hmm. So his dream is to find like land that he can flatten out, you know, and so that's like his, because he loves to be on the bobcats, on the caterpillars, you know. So and his thing is, oh yeah, I want to find a piece of land and just flatten it out. And he's like, I love being on those things all day. So yeah, that's his thing. So that in his world, that's his criteria, land.
Yeah.
Vacant land. And it can be bumpy. It doesn't have to be flat. He can fix it.
Yeah, no, I had a good dear friend of mine. His name is Louis Marcus. He has a great story. I mean, he's a contractor. He inherited a lot of land from his dad. Mm-hmm. And you know what this guy did? He bought an RV, and then he moved into a lot, built a home, lived in his RV, him and his wife, while he was building. And then as soon as he finished the house, moved into the house, lived in it for a year, got back in his RV, sold that house, went to a second lot.
Oh.
You know? And that's how he created his wealth. Mm. You know, he was this nomad that just stationed himself and his wife for like a year, 9 months, whatever, enjoyed the house, a freshly new finished house. And then when he got sick of it and had the itch to build again,
did again.
Get in his RV, go to another lot, park, get his permits, and start building and do it over again.
Nice.
That was his market. That was his niche. And, you know, everybody has a different one.
Yeah.
Right? You know?
The opportunity was there for him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
you just need to recognize. And when you talk about finding the market, you need to know what it's possible. That's
right.
Exactly what it's around, mm-hmm. right? If you have the possibility to build, move, build, and build, and build again.
Yeah.
And repeat.
Absolutely.
Rinse and repeat.
Yeah. But, you know, like, the people that are getting into the business that don't know exactly where they stand or exactly what this all means to them, it is okay not to fit in yet. It is okay to run your business not knowing what your core competence is in the market. It is okay not knowing what your purchase power is or what your strategies are. or your criteria. It's okay not to have a definite one yet because you can't discover that overnight.
Right.
But what you do is you lean on somebody that does, and then you say, oh, my God, I like what this guy's doing, or I like what this chick is doing, or I like what that lady's doing, or I like, you know, and then you piece out what fits who you are as an individual. Because to get the max out of yourself in business, you have to be in line with who you are.
Yeah.
You know, your business has to run around the patterns that make you as an individual to get the most out of it. You know, so people that start in the business, they don't find a spot. It is totally fine. I know I didn't in the beginning.
Me neither.
You know, that's why I did divorces. I did vacant properties. I did probate. I did tax defaulted. I mean, I was taking all these stupid courses all the time, going through all these different coaches, trying to find myself in the business. And then it was Chris Alvin that told me, dude, you're an idiot. You know, like, you're a creative thinker. You should do just creative acquisitions. And I'm like, what? You know, like $50,000 later worth of coaching, you know? But it was okay. That was my journey. That was my way of identifying what I was going to be good at, or at least connecting with something that was already that woke me up, you know, that creative side of the business.
I think when you start, you're going to learn a little bit of everything, and yeah, then you'll need to master one thing.
Yep, absolutely.
Then when you master that, just...
stick to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mary was that.
Yeah.
Strategy.
Right.
That is what I say. I think real estate, it's like you're going to see a bunch of boyfriends and then you're going to marry one, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm not looking for a boyfriend, but
that's your girlfriend.
But, you know, it's I remember in the beginning when I started doing door knocking, I went with at least, I don't know, 14 different coaches. You know,
all different.
Yeah, to find out what style most fit me as an individual, you know? And then I took a little bit from one and then from the other and then from the other. But I didn't discover that overnight. And then when I...
This podcast is sponsored by Become an Investor. Here at Become an Investor, we believe in you and your unique potential. We're a community of like-minded individuals, all working a path towards financial independence. We're about empowering you to take control of your financial future. Well, how? Well, most of us got started with foreclosure leads, and you now can too. Follow the link in the show notes below, and for a limited time, you can get our foreclosure ebook. With that, we'll also send you up to 10 free leads in your local area. So get those leads. Get this book so you too can get started on your path to living life by design. Now back to the podcast.
Found what I liked, and I was able to identify which was my market. And then when I identified which was my market, I could identify which was my criteria. And then after that criteria, I could identify which were my strategies. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a process. It's not like, you know, everything comes down, pours on you one night. You wake up and you're like,
I know everything.
Yeah. I mean, Danny does, but I didn't.
I don't know.
So let's talk about what we spoke about already, you know. Ladies.
No, I think this is pretty much... finding the marketing, just analyzing what it's around, analyze your situation, be real, right? Mm-hmm. And see what fits better for you. If you're going to tolerate flipping, because it sometimes can be very stressful.
Yep.
Sometimes you're going to go upside down on your projects and you don't know what you do. The first flip I did, it was a rip it off on my walls, you know, just like overpay here, overpay there, because you don't know what you're doing. So what can you tolerate, right?
Right.
Maybe you want to work with long-term or short-term rentals.
Yeah.
If that fits for you. Maybe you want to start with renting a little room on your own house and see how good is that to be a landlord, right? And see people messing up.
No, yeah, it's true.
That's a disgrace sometimes, but it is what it is. It's the game.
No, it's absolutely true. You know, it's like when you start in the business and you partner up with somebody, mm-hmm. a lot of people get into the business and say, I want to flip. But then the person that's leading you through the process wants to wholesale.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you go through another one and then you want to hold it as your rental. But then the person you're looking up to wants to flip it. Or the other way around. You know, so understanding what the outcome is going to be of that one specific property is very important. You know, a lot of people, I can't go into a deal with you, Sarah, and then, you know, figure out halfway down the road that you're looking for, you're looking for a personal home. Like, what? No, I thought we were, you know, doing Airbnb on this one. No, yeah. No. I'm on the move in, man. You know, it's like I already picked my colors and everything. It doesn't work out, you know? So having that clarity in the forefront of every deal that you get is very important. And if you're learning, be okay with not having a say-so, because you're not matured enough in the business to make those type of decisions yet. You're in the learning process, right?
Yeah.
You'll have to mature in the business to be able to call those shots. In the meantime, if you're learning, be okay with that. That is your winner right there. That is your gain. And you're going to get a check. Right? You're going to get a check if you do things right, if you and your partner do things right. But the gains for you here as a beginner is going to be the lessons, not so much the check. I mean, the check is the byproduct. Right. And everybody's chasing the check. But if you're really looking at this business for long term benefits, you should be OK with starting it and maybe just having an opinion, but not a definite say so. Because just the way it rolls, you know, it's the way it works. Ladies.
Well, you know what I was going to say when you were talking about how, you know, people who are just starting in the business or learning about it, all they want to do is flip. I think it has to do because that's kind of like what you think of when you say, oh, an investor, you know, real estate investor. Or what do you, you know, it's like, oh, that you flip homes. Right. So that's like the first impression people have.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what they think everybody does.
Yeah.
But then when you start to learn and get educated or work with a partner, then you find out that, oh, you know what, there's other options. Yeah. Other strategies, you know, other markets. It's not just flipping. So right. It's important just to, you know, come in with a clean slate, like you say.
Right.
And just, you know, be open to any possibility.
Be open to learning.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever you're going to learn is something you're not going to like.
I didn't like.
Yeah. it's just because our expectations are always... missed.
Yeah.
They're always missed in the beginning. I have yet to find any upcoming investor say, oh my God, my first flip was my dream. No. You know, their commentary is always in the sense of, oh my God, you know, I think we could have done better. But I learned a lot, you know, or some people question the process and it's okay. But, you know, it's a process for everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, even people that are seasoned in the business are always learning new different things, especially with all the uprising legislation moves and changes. You have, you know, they keep us on our toes. We have to continue learning. We cannot stop learning. If you stop learning, you stop making money.
Yeah.
You know? So, Danny, tell me about what do you prefer, flipping, long-term rentals, short-term rentals?
Long-term, so far, like, by far, I mean, so far.
You mean like far, like in Japan, like the one you have in Japan, that far?
Yeah.
Or far, or long-term holding?
No, long-term for me, I don't like that. I like the flipping. I do like, you know, go to the breaking, do the demo. It's, you know, it's always fun working on that, designing things like that. It's fun, but dealing with people was I'm a girl. I'm small, you know, and sometimes sometimes I just feel like the guys, they just, you need to repeat 3 times. And then a guy come around, say one time, I get so like, you not listen to me. Like, it's upsetting.
You get irritated.
Yeah, it's irritating. But, I mean, I walk away a lot of a lot of times, because I also, as an investor, I'm cheap. So I'm going to look for the material. I have the time to go shopping, you know, so if I can find the flooring that I like for half price, I will buy that. So sometimes I give my people, my crew, a little extra work. So they don't like that, but they do like to get paid, right?
Right. Yeah.
It is what it is. So, no, I prefer long term. It's just more peace of mind. Get someone to do the management and walk away.
Just cash flow?
Yes.
Yeah. What about you, Sarah? Flipping long term, short term rentals? What do you think you connect better with?
I would love to do short term, like in a destination area. Mm. Even here, like in Anaheim, you know, with Disneyland.
Yeah.
There's so much tourist. Something like that would be like soothing for me. I would love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that can be short term and long term. Think about it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good. Yeah, because it's still in a city that...
It's short-term rentals, but it's a long-term investment.
Long-term hold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, when I first got started, one of the coaches that I was being coached by, he bought a house called an Enchanted Home by Disneyland.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Yeah.
So these enchanted homes, there was an actual stamp. It wasn't just any house. I mean, it was a regular stupid house, right? But like a regular house.
It was built with,
you know, the only difference was that it had a stamp in the foundation that said enchanted home. Mm. So when they did the foundation, they had a stamp and they put it on the concrete. And it would obviously never go away. Right. But that enchanted home meant that it had 100% clear view to the fireworks in Disneyland.
Oh, wow.
And these dummies sold it. They sold that house. I would have never, ever.
Exactly.
If that house would have came across the table 1 year, me and the business, I would have taken that house and I would still have it.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I think they were saying that a weekend in Christmas or New Year's was like $6,000.
Oh, yeah. It's very expensive.
You know? Easy. And mm-hmm. and they let go of that? I'm like, you guys are idiots. I know. Whatever. I'm not going to say. I'm going to get mad.
Not today.
Your
holiday
today.
Season. You don't get mad. You don't get upset. You just get happy.
So for me, I like long term. I play the appreciation game. I determine my offloading based on the cycle. And I wait and buy when the cycle tells me to buy. You know? I try to negotiate as much as I can at year round, cycle round, but I'd rather just, acquire a property in the downturn and wait for the upside and offload to get more working capital and move forward.
Smart.
You know, nice. But everybody has to have their investor ID, has to have their market, has to understand that you have to give yourself a space. You have to give yourself that time to be able to endure the process and not convince yourself that it isn't working for you because your expectations are missed. You know, at the beginning, be okay having opinions and them not being considered, being okay with your idea not being the best, but also be okay with learning. And if you're in the business... If you're in the business for touch and go, do whatever the fuck you want to do. But if you're in the business for long term, be patient and it will pay out. It will pay out. But let's close it up. Closing statements. Sarah.
Yeah, well, like you said at the beginning, you know, finding your market is kind of like finding your investor ID, right? Yep. Because it goes hand in hand. You'll identify what you like, what works for you, what's going to give you a profit based on your investment money or, you know, your partners or, you know, what your plans are, if you plan to be moving around or if you plan to stay in one spot. So, yeah, just do research and be honest with yourself about what you want.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Danny,
I think what you both say, I really like be honest to yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
That it's something that when people are starting, I love that, Sarah, they are not.
Yeah.
You know, they have those, there's the lies, you know? Yeah. Just like, yeah, I can do this, I can do that, and that it's nothing, it's on place, nothing is correct, and it just take time from your coach, and you get nothing done. Because once you're honest, you're going to learn more, because you're going to show, you need to show your weakness. And you showing your weakness on this business, it's not like you're a loser. It's like you're opening yourself to be coachable. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, that is what I think. And I think once you do that, it'll be easier for you to, of course, find your investor ID.
Yeah.
As you say.
So yeah.
Be honest.
Yeah. You know, a quick closing story. I once designed a water park in Kosovo, Russia. And I got granted the contract to go build this water park in Russia, right? And then I came to realize, you know what? What the hell am I going to go do in Russia? You know, it's like it was 3 month trips and then come back. So I figured, nah, you know what? I'm going to go do the same thing I do here in California. The weather's better here and I'll be close to home. So I'm not going to Russia. Everybody thought I was an idiot. You know, like, you're so stupid. Same thing. I had another project in Bahamas. I sent all these different crews to Bahamas, all these different crews to Russia, you know, and it was just like, to me, it was like, I'm going to do the same thing here and I'm going to be close to home. I think about it now and great experiences, but they're just stories, right? I was going to make roughly the same amount of money if I stayed home or if I went to Russia. And all I was going to have was a story in Russia. Right? You know, it's like, to me, it was like, no. So I bring that to real estate investing. In my investor ID, I don't want to drive. I don't want to get stuck in traffic. I mean, I'll look at a property in LA. I'll look at a property in Orange County. But it has to make sense. Because I value my time so much. I'd rather stay close to home. You know, and there's multiple deals that I've said no to just because the numbers are the same. By the time you do your numbers and go to the whiteboard and go to LA and come back and you're stuck in traffic three hours each way, just stay in your farm, man. Just stay around your area. So when you seek your market and when you seek your investor ID, go into that much detail. Again, when this is long-term, you want to be able to make it comfortable, make it fun, make it pleasing, because it's going to be a long term career.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Beautiful people, where can people find us?
Beautiful people, if you have any questions, please send the question to info@becomeaninvestor.com. You also can find us on Facebook, Become an Investor, or Instagram. Podcast, we were on the Apple Podcast, Spotify, what's one's the other one?
TikTok before it goes away.
TikTok before it goes away. And they're there. So just look at that. Don't forget to give us that 5 stars. And you'll talk next week. Bye bye. Ciao.
Bye bye.